Mark chapter 2, starting with verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Please pray with me. Our Father, please, as we hear your word, the only way that we know you, we would ask that you would open our minds and our hearts. We would ask, Father, for you to help us to see our relationship with you as sons and daughters, and how you would have us respond to your word as sons and daughters. God, please open our hearts. Please change our lives forever as we turn to you now. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're an artist like me, you see in pictures. You imagine Christ walking out and walking down a trail with all these people following him. And he talks about the kingdom of God as he goes. And people take it in and people are listening enamored, because he has the words of truth and life. And as they walk along, as they come to the sea, it's glistening blue. And he looks over and he sees Matthew Levi, the tax collector. People hated tax collectors. They took their money. They were seen as traitors because they worked for Rome. Traitors to the people of Israel, and therefore traitors to God. Jesus looks at this hated man and he says, "Follow me." Now, it doesn't tell us if there's any more dialogue than that. It doesn't tell us if he had heard Jesus preach before, so that's not the point. The point is, he got up and he followed Jesus. This sinner was received by the Master. Then we have Jesus sitting in the tax collector's house, eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. Then enter the religious leaders. And it's interesting, they don't approach Jesus directly. They don't come and say, "Okay, tell us, Rabbi, why are you doing these things?" They go to his disciples and say, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Now, either they're intimidated by Christ and they don't want to deal with him directly, or they're trying to cause them to revolt against Christ, or they may have even done it in a way to embarrass Jesus. Ask him loud enough with him there, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus' answer is so straightforward and to the point. Most of us miss it. Most of us don't get what Jesus was saying, what his answer to them was. Jesus says, it's not the healthy that need a physician, but the sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. This is what Jesus says to all of us. And the question is, do you receive what he's saying? Do you get it? Do you respond? The proper way. There's three ways to respond to what Christ says here. One is to say, oh, well, that makes sense. Very good then. Christ, go ahead and deal with the sinners. And walk away self-satisfied. Another way to respond is to say, yeah, right, Jesus. You're just justifying hanging out and eating with sinners. And to walk away self-satisfied. The proper response to Jesus' answer, it's not the healthy that need a physician, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The proper response for you is, Christ, then heal me. See, these Pharisees, they heard Christ and they said, oh, he didn't come for us. He didn't come to deal with us. He came to deal with sinners. Well, you can look at this passage and say, oh, very good. Christ wants to deal with sinners. But the truth is, he wants to deal with you. See, none of us are righteous. None of us have arrived. And we need Christ to deal with us. We're sick. Because we need healed. So in order to be dealt with in this way, first we must recognize, you must recognize your own need for healing. In verse 2:14, we see Christ makes a call. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Now this is a clear call. He's saying, you're not all right where you are. You need to leave where you are and come with me. Verse 17 is also a call, but less direct. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You see, and this is a call to everyone who will recognize that they are sick, that they are sinners, that they need help. So recognize your own need for healing. The first reason you need healed is where you come from. You see, have you come into this world perfect and clean and pure? As people would like to imagine babies are perfect and clean and pure. But no, they are selfish. First opportunity they have to express it, they will. And they will continue to do so unless they are placed on the path and taught to fear and love the Lord. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, in this way, death came to all. Because all sin. You see, everyone needs Christ because of where they come from. You came into the world stained. You see, our illness is even worse because we deny it. We act like we are okay. I have a dear great uncle who's old, and he has always been old. He's been as old as long as I can remember. And our family would play volleyball. And dear, great, old uncle would come out and he would play volleyball with us. And something would happen. He would move a certain way or do something. And he would bellow out in pain. Oh! And everybody would stop and cringe. And we'd look and say, are you okay? And he always say, yeah, what? Throw the ball. And it would happen again, and everybody would be like, ooh. And we'd look at Uncle Charles, and he's like, what? You know, he was messed up. Uncle Charles was hurt. Uncle Charles was sick. He needed some kind of help. You know, and all of you, you're messed up. You're hurt. You're sick. You need some kind of help. all of you need healed by Christ. For Uncle Charles, it was obvious to everybody around him. For you, it is obvious to Christ. You need healed. It needs to be obvious to you as well. You need healed. You need Christ. So be healed by following Christ. Verses 13 and 14. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Levi literally got up and walked behind Christ. What does it mean for you to be healed by following Christ? I did a search looking at pathways, looking at trails. Here's a beautiful piece of Psalm 16, verse 11. This is speaking to God. "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." In John 6, verse 66 and 68, we have some of Jesus' disciples who were deciding to leave. They were deciding to go another way. It says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." You, do you want to leave too? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You see, for you to follow Christ after you admit your need for him and giving your life to him is to walk according to his word. It is to walk on that path alone. See, this passage we have our own ways and we create our own righteousness inside our minds, thinking that we're okay, and we take our own sins and we justify them in our minds, and we say, "Because I'm in Christ, this isn't so bad." We say, "Because I'm in Christ, I'm forgiven." And you are forgiven, but your sin still isn't okay. You know, we will take our gluttony, we'll take our idols, and we'll say, "Because I'm in Christ, I can get away with this." We'll take our idols, the images that we would look at, the things that we would look at, and we would say, "Because I'm in Christ, I'm okay." We take our pride and we say, "Because I'm in Christ, this is okay." We take our anger and say, "Because I'm in Christ, I'll be okay." Because you are in Christ, it's not okay. You see, you must follow him on his paths, obeying him. This is the healing that each of you need. Each of you need to examine your life, look at these idols that you have held in your heart, and follow Christ, throwing these things off. This is a life of healing. You see, and you're not cursed as you give up your idols, you're blessed as you give up your idols. But you must recognize any of these things that you cling to are idols. And they hold back your healing. You tear them down. Rejoice in your healing. Let's look again at Malachi. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. And that day is coming. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Know what you have. Know the salvation that you have. How does your heart rejoice? How does your heart rejoice in your Christ? Relationship that you have in Him. You know who you are. That you are sons and daughters of God. That you have been loved and that you have been blessed. You see, this is even despite your circumstances. I had a cousin pass away this past week. She was in her 20s, and there was a car accident. So no one expected to see it come. And her mother sent me an email, and she said, pray for me. It's her only child, and she isn't married. She said, pray for me. I'm not mad, and I don't need to know why. I just need to know what I'm supposed to do now without her. But this woman, because she is in Christ, she is still blessed. The only words I could give her were, cling to Christ. The words that you would say to your daughter, whisper them to Christ. The smile that you look for from your daughter. Know that your Heavenly Father smiles on you because of the work of Christ. You know, everything that you have can be taken. Except for your relationship with Christ. You must rejoice. Rejoice in your relationship. Rejoice in your healing. Because you have been brought from death to life. Your God holds you close. Your God would heal you. Simply give your sin and your pain to Him. And your God will heal you. Bring others to the healing power of Christ. See, what is the purpose of your healing? What is the purpose of your salvation? It is for Christ to be glorified. It is for Christ to be glorified in the life that you have been given. It is Christ to be glorified as you put off your sins and rejoice in Him. And it is for Christ to be glorified as you share this with others. As you share His truth, as you share His love, and as you share His healing. Romans 10:14, which is a dear passage to me. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone proclaiming to them. You see, God is glorified as you share. So will you keep your salvation to yourself? Will you keep your healing to yourself? Will you keep your great physician secret while the sick around you perish? You know, in a very real sense, we live in the midst of a plague. We live in the midst of a plague of sin and death. And everyone around us is going to die. And you have been given the cure. You have been given the good news. Will you hide it behind your back? Or will you lift it with trembling hands to show people the healing and the grace of your living God? See, the message is live a life of healing, and that is for you to recognize your need to be healed. That is for you to follow Christ, putting off your sins. That is for you to live a life of rejoicing because you have been healed, because of what you look forward to. You know, live a life of healing is to share that healing with the lost and the perishing. So rejoice. Rejoice because you've been loved. Rejoice clinging to your Christ, because He cannot be taken away from you. Rejoice because your Christ is your healing. He is your hope. He is your future. He is the lover of your souls. Live. Live this life of healing. Pray with me. Our great and powerful Lord, please apply this word to our hearts. God, may we rise and follow you. May we rise and follow you, rejoicing in who you are and what you have done, putting off our sin and being healed. God, as we hear the word that you came to call sinners, may we run to you and not turn away in our self-righteousness, but falling to our knees and beg you to cleanse us. And Father, may you be glorified as your gospel goes forth through through our lives, in our families, God, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. God, be glorified as we live lives of healing, lives that have been transformed by you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.